Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
I believe my fascination of gore films stemmed from seeing my pet cat being run over when I was 10 years old. I couldn't get the image out of my mind, and for some twisted psychological reason, I coped by seeking out more blood. At least fictional ones that came with almost no real-life consequence. I don't think that I could stomach anything real, but zombie movies when they would rip out people's arms and eat them? That sounds enjoyable. I'm 18 now, and I realize that perhaps some of these movies weren't so fictional after all. And perhaps there was more to them aside from just being movies. See, to channel my interest, I started an anonymous Instagram account, a Finsta, where I did nothing but review quite extreme gore horror films. Of course, I wasn't getting anything out of it beyond satisfying my own personal curiosities, but one day, a girl DM'd me. A pretty girl. And right off the bat, we connected. Yeah, that's right. I couldn't believe it myself. I mean, finding someone who's into the same thing I am is hard enough, but finding a girl that's also into it? I thought I won the lottery. I wasn't going to be stupid about it. I checked her profile and saw that Anna was mostly your next-door girl, but boy was she hot. And she was really into all these crazy gore horror films.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
We spent the next few weeks bonding, talking about all sorts of crazy films, and then those conversations made way for just how crazy life was. And then, if it all wasn't crazy enough, after a month of talking, we both realized that we actually lived in the same city. Anna Boyle had gone to East High while I went to West High. What a coincidence. To be honest, I was already thinking about gathering the courage to ask her for a night out. A movie downtown would be nice. And like classic Anna, that always seemed to be reading my mind. She invited me to a screening of a gore horror movie. I didn't know we had those around. Anna told me it was an underground cinema, a monthly screening ran by a group of passionate archivists who found a rare restored copy of Hamster 2. I was definitely not going to turn down that offer. Hamster 2 was a rare gem. The day of the screening came, and I found myself starting out at an abandoned Victorian home, an old haunted house attraction, the apparent site of the upcoming screening. The main entrance was padlocked shut, but I tried anyway. As expected, it didn't budge. Guess I must have been early. "Hey, Chris!" I heard a girl call out. It had to be Anna. She was calling me from somewhere? "Down here!" I saw her now all too familiar pretty face peeking out from the basement window. "Anna, hey!" She smiled and explained that the entrance was out back, down a cellar door, then straight down the corridor. Fair enough. In hindsight, I couldn't understand how I could be so stupid. Walked right into a trap. Because of what? A pretty girl? The cellar was actually pretty clean and well lit, which is why I didn't suspect anything. It looked like your typical back entrance, until I got inside and everything went dark. I woke up, feeling a sharp tingling pain on the back of my head. And then, I realized that I was tied up to a chair, hands and feet bound tightly by chain cuffs. In front of me was a camera, and all around me were monitors, showing a live view of me squirming in a chair. Mirror images of me, scared shitless, stared back in horror. Anna stood in front of me with a chainsaw. Anna? I asked in a panic. What is all this? Well, we're watching a movie, said an unknown man's voice behind me. I mean, I told you we were watching a restored version of Hamster 2. This is exactly it, Anna said, with a big smile plastered across her face. And suddenly, a round of applause from behind me. A whole crowd was seated back there. I could feel them. I could hear them laughing and jeering. They were enjoying themselves as they watched me about to get cut up, both live and on screen. I was the afternoon showing. Anna, you're doing this for a movie? I asked her out of nowhere. I thought that if I was going to die, I at least deserved to know why. Why was I being punished for my own morbid curiosity? There were other gore movie fans out there, and they didn't get invited to this. What is this? Some kind of satanic cult that loves gore movies? I'd like to at least know that my otherwise boring 18 years of existence actually meant something at the end. That it won't end up as nothing but a pile of blood and guts like my cat. Basically, nothing but useless matter. Trash. Decaying rot flesh trash. Because, Christian, we like movies. And like you said so yourself, no one else likes movies like we do. So we're here to offer you a deal. A deal? Yes. You see, we worship the movie. An entity that exists beyond the constraints of celluloid and camera lenses. Greater than all of space and time and all universes. But ones whose glimpses of we catch only through the garish depiction of blood and guts projected on screen. Huh? I thought that they must be joking, but no. The people behind me were cheering and clapping, and Anna continued her piece. So today, if you choose, can be your initiation day into our little movie club. And all you have to do is give up a limb, a finger, a thumb, an arm. The bigger the appendage, the more respect you will get. And should you choose not to join the movie club, then we'll finish you here. Chop you up bit by bit to appease the movie, so we can get another glimpse of her, and hopefully have her bestow her presence upon us. The crowd followed. I looked at Anna helplessly and knew that I only had one more part of my situation. Chop off my... I don't need it anymore. It's only brought me trouble so far. The crowd went wild. I went home that night content with the fact that although I will remain forever a virgin, at least I had suddenly gained a whole group of people who were into extreme gore films. A whole room of people that were into my interests that met up every full moon to watch movies. The whole film god thing. I'm not sure how serious they were about that. But on my third meeting with them, when someone did choose to get chopped up for the movie, I could have sworn that in between the recorded blood and guts, I saw a menacing eye. Bigger than me. Bigger than life itself. Bigger than the whole universe. Carefully watching us and our cruelties for some unknown cause.
My boyfriend Ken broke up with me about a month ago. It came as a huge surprise. I thought we were really happy together, but he said that he hadn't been happy for a while. He explained that his family disapproved of our relationship, but I knew that was a lie, and never even met his family. One of the biggest adjustments I had to make was figuring out how to live alone. I grew up with a big family, then I moved into the college dorms, then I moved in with Ken. For the first time ever, I was now living alone, and I didn't like it. I had trouble falling asleep. Every single noise in the house would wake me up. I spent hours lying in my bed, worried that some criminal had broken in. My oldest sister, Pamela, told me to try sleeping pills, at least for a couple weeks. I didn't like that idea, but after 3 nights of barely any sleep, I decided to give it a try. After ordering takeout for dinner, I got ready for bed and took my first sleeping pill. It seemed to work instantly. I was completely knocked out and I didn't wake up until close to 10 the next morning. I felt really well rested, but as I got ready for the day, I remembered the strange dreams I had throughout the night. I dreamt that Ken had come back and just wandered around my house, running his fingers along the wall and staring at me from the edge of the room. The dream seemed so vivid, I could only assume that it was the result of the sleeping pill. I went to work as normal, and when I came back home that night, I tried the sleeping pill once again. Like the night before, I fell asleep right away and had the same strange dream. In my dream, I was lying frozen in my bed while Ken walked around my room, staring at me. Even though I've gotten pretty good sleep for both nights, I decided to stop taking the sleeping pill. I didn't want to keep dreaming about my ex. So the next night, I went to bed naturally. Not surprisingly, I could not get to sleep at all. No matter how long I stayed lying in my bed, my brain wouldn't calm down enough for me to sleep. I just lied there with my eyes closed. But then, in the middle of the night, I heard footsteps inside my house. I knew I was still awake, so it wasn't another dream. This was real. I opened my eyes just a little bit and saw a figure walk into my room. It was Ken. That's when I knew that my dreams from the last 2 nights were real. Ken had snuck into my house 3 nights in a row and I had no idea why. He wasn't stealing anything. He wasn't trying to contact me. He was just walking around. I shivered under my covers. I was terrified. I didn't think that Ken would want to hurt me, but I also didn't know why he was trespassing. I laid there frozen and waited. After about half an hour, Ken casually walked out of the room. The next morning, I decided to find Ken and confront him. He needed answers. So I drove to his family house, where I knew he was staying with his parents and brother. Then I knocked on the door. Ken answered right away and he seemed surprised to see me. I demanded to know what was going on, but he just looked at me like I was crazy. He had no idea what I was talking about. I told him that I'd seen him sneaking around in my house at night. His eyes got really wide and he looked terrified. "That wasn't me," he said. "I know it was you," I said. "Why are you doing that?" "You can't stay there anymore," he said. "Get out of that house, now." He was going to say something else, but then he stopped. Someone else had just entered the room behind him, but I couldn't see who it was. He told me that I had to get out of there, and then he slammed the door in my face. After that, I was more confused than ever. I didn't follow his advice though, and I went back to my house. I refused to live in fear of my ex. I went to bed as usual, and I did not take any sleeping medicine. This time though, I kept my phone under my pillow. As soon as I heard anything, I called the police. I stayed in bed and waited for any noise. I didn't have to wait long. Just after sunset, I heard footsteps in my living room. I pulled out my phone and dialed 911. As the footsteps got closer, I whispered into the phone that someone had broken into my house. I gave the lady my address and then hung up the phone just as my bedroom door creaked open. I watched through half-closed eyes as Ken once again walked through my bedroom. I could see him touching my things and opening my underwear drawer to smell what was inside. I prayed that the police would get there soon. Ken walked closer to my bed. He watched me for a long moment before slowly reaching down to touch my shoulder. All I could do was hold my breath and pray. I felt his hand slide along to the top of the blanket. Just then, sirens blared from outside. The police had arrived. Ken jumped back and then raced toward the window. I watched as he dove out the window and tried to run away. After he was gone, I heard two gunshots and then silence. With the police just outside, I got out of bed and looked out the window. I saw Ken lying dead on the ground, two bullet holes in his stomach. Several policemen had gathered around him. One of them noticed me looking out the window and walked over to explain what had happened. He said that they caught my intruder trying to escape and they had no choice but to shoot him. They asked if I knew who it was, and I told them that it was my ex-boyfriend, Ken. But when I looked closer at the body, I realized that it wasn't Ken at all. It looked like him, but he was shorter and fatter. His eyes were darker too. That was when another car pulled up to my house and the real Ken came out. He ran toward the body and then wailed in sadness. "You killed my brother!" he screamed at the police. Ken was completely freaking out, and the police had to handcuff him before he'd calm down. Ken finally explained the truth. He never wanted to break up with me. The only reason he did was because his younger brother Carl had become obsessed with me. I never met his brother before, but they looked so similar that I'd mistaken them for each other. Carl had just been released from a mental institution, had seen photos of me, and then started following me around. Ken thought that breaking up with me would make Carl lose his obsession, but it only made things worse. I felt so sorry for Ken. Even though his brother was a psycho, he didn't deserve to die. Over the next few weeks, Ken tried to reconnect multiple times. I always turned him down. I didn't know if he wanted to get back together and restart a relationship, but I wasn't interested. Every time I saw his face, I picture his brother quietly walking through my house at night.
Last year, I visited my parents at their new place.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
They had moved into a gated retirement community outside San Diego, and they were really excited to show me. Both my parents had always been very active, so I knew that living in a community like that would be a great fit for them. They had a community center, a pool, and weekly events. My mom even volunteered to lead the HOA. As part of her position, she patrolled the neighborhood and looked for any areas of improvement in the houses. As a former real estate agent, that seemed like a fun activity for her. So I flew into the San Diego airport and took a rental car to their community. Right away, I could tell it was a nice, welcoming place. I was able to stay there as a guest for 1 week maximum, which was totally fine with me. Mom showed me around the neighborhood, while Dad stayed behind to get the guest room ready. We met a couple of their neighbors, who all introduced themselves. I guess my mom talked about me a lot, because they seemed to know everything about my life. And they all seemed so nice, acting like my parents were their best friends. The next morning, I sat with my parents on their porch drinking my morning coffee. I asked them about our plans for the day, but Dad said that they both had to leave. His old co-worker had an accident the night before, and they needed to go and see him in the hospital. They'd stay the night, and then come back the next day. I was disappointed, of course. I'd traveled all this way to spend time with my parents, and they were leaving me behind for a whole day. But I didn't argue. I understood the situation. Besides, I hadn't been to San Diego in years, so I figured I could drive around and spend all day in the city center. Unfortunately, when my parents were about to leave, their car wouldn't start. They asked if they could borrow my rental car for the day. I couldn't say no, even though that meant I'd be stuck here alone for the whole day. They left, and I just hung out all day at their house. I took another walk around the neighborhood, but the people I walked past seemed a lot less friendly to me without my parents around. No one waved. Everyone just glared at me suspiciously. It's kind of weird. So I cut my walk short and went back inside. My parents didn't have a TV in the house, so I scrolled through my phone for a while and read some of my mom's magazines that she kept in the bathroom. It was really boring. As I heated up some leftovers from the fridge, I heard noises from the house next door. It sounded like they were having a barbecue. It smelled delicious. I remembered meeting the couple who lived next door. Barbara and Frank, I think. They seemed nice the day before, so I wondered if I could just invite myself over. Mom had always talked about how the community was so close, how people could just drop in unannounced. I normally didn't do that kind of thing, but I was pretty bored and lonely. So I put the leftovers back in the fridge and walked into the backyard. I looked over the fence toward Barbara and Frank and said hello. I told them that I was home alone while my parents were off visiting a sick friend. I figured that was the most diplomatic way of seeing if I could come over. Barbara whispered something to Frank, and he nodded gravely. Neither of them were smiling. After a long moment, they asked if I wanted to join them. It seemed a little awkward, though, like I was forcing them to invite me. I headed next door and instantly realized that something was off. Everyone got really quiet when I walked in. Their friendly smiles from earlier were replaced by suspicious glares. I tried to make small talk with the other neighbors, but they all avoided me. Frank announced that the meat was ready, and then everyone grabbed paper plates and formed a line near the barbecue. I got in line, but Barbara tapped me on the shoulder and said that she had something special for me. She handed me a burger that was already made.
"This one is just for you," she said. "You're our guest, so you get the best piece."
There was something about her tone of voice that unnerved me. I took the plate and thanked her. I was about to take a bite when I noticed that literally everyone at the barbecue was staring at me. I wondered if Barbara had spat in my burger or something. Maybe they didn't like having visitors. Maybe they didn't want anyone my age intruding on their community. I pulled off the bun, and I couldn't see any spit globs or anything. I started nibbling around the edges of the burger, careful not to bite into the meat.
"Do you like it?" Barbara asked.
I told her it was delicious. Then she waited for me to take another bite. I really didn't trust her. I had to think of an excuse to get out of there. I told her that I'd left my parents' stove on and had to run back. It was kind of a lame excuse, but I think she bought it.
"Take the burger with you," she said.
I did, though I had no intention of actually eating it. As I rushed off, I could hear the whole group whispering about me. When I got back inside, I threw out the burger. I didn't go back to the barbecue, of course. I could still hear their voices next door, and I could tell that the barbecue was still going strong, but I knew that I needed to stay away. I wasn't wanted. About an hour later, the voices stopped. I assumed the party was over, but I saw some movement through the window. I looked out and saw Frank, Barbara, and at least five other neighbors sneaking into my parents' backyard. They obviously didn't want me to hear them because they were looking around and whispering. I ducked under the window so they couldn't see me. I tried to listen to what they were whispering.
"Do you think she's asleep yet?"
I heard Frank whisper.
"I put enough medication in there to knock her out for hours," Barbara answered.
So I was right. She had put something in my burger, but it wasn't spit. It was a sleep-inducing medicine. But why? I could hear them slowly opening the window right behind me. They were going to sneak in. I dropped onto the ground and hid behind the couch. Frank climbed through the window first, but the others weren't far behind. They kept giggling, like they were having the time of their lives. What was their plan? What did they want to do to me? From my hiding place, I could see them walk around the living room and start trashing the place. They upended furniture and shattered plates on the floor. Barbara even took down my parents' framed wedding photo and slammed it into the wall, spraying glass everywhere. I needed to call the police before they found me, but I didn't have my phone. I left it on the table. I looked up and saw that Frank had grabbed my phone. I don't know how he'd gotten through my password, but somehow he did. He was typing something until Barbara took the phone away from him.
"Let me write her goodbye note," she said. "You find her and finish her off."
So that was the plan. They wanted to kill me, trash the house, and make it look like I'd had some self-destructive breakdown. I couldn't just hide there and let it happen. Even though they outnumbered me by 6-1, I had to fight them. I jumped out of my hiding spot and dove toward Barbara. She instantly dropped my phone and fell backwards. The other neighbors must have been so surprised by my sudden appearance that they raced out of there, leaving me alone with Barbara and Frank. I grabbed a lamp to use as a weapon.
"What did I ever do to you?" I screamed.
Barbara, still on the floor, answered.
"You didn't do anything. But your psycho mother and her HOA meddling has made our lives miserable."
So when I was with my parents, these people weren't actually friendly. They were just walking on eggshells to keep my mom happy. But now that my parents were gone, they were taking their anger out on me. All of this was because of a stupid HOA. Frank dove toward me, but I was too fast for him. I slammed the lamp into his head, knocking him unconscious. It was almost too easy. Barbara stood up, angry and horrified at what I'd done to her husband.
"You bitch!"
she screamed. She grabbed a shard of glass off the floor. The lamp was shattered into pieces, so I no longer had a weapon. She came at me, and I backed away. I stumbled over the trash can and fell onto the floor. The poisoned hamburger that I'd thrown out earlier flopped out of the trash. As Barbara crouched over me, ready to strike with the glass, I picked up the hamburger and shoved it into her mouth.
"Eat it!"
I screamed.
"Eat it!"
At that exact moment, my parents came back home. They'd left the hospital early. They saw the total destruction around their house and screamed. I'd never felt so happy to see them in my life. It's been a year since this all went down. Barbara and Frank are still serving time for attempted murder, but their other conspirators got lighter sentences. My parents sold the house and moved back to their old neighborhood. When I retire, I will never live in a gated community like that. It makes people go crazy.
I had been a regular at this Starbucks for years, so when I stepped inside on that cloudy morning, I expected to see the usual hustle and bustle. But something was different. The air was thick with tension, and the normal hum of conversation had been replaced by an eerie silence. I glanced around, trying to find the source of the unease, and that's when I saw them. Three men huddled together at a table in the far corner of the cafe, their eyes fixed on me. I tried to ignore them and make my way to the counter, but I could feel their eyes following me, tracking my every move. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and I could feel my pulse racing. The barista gave me a nervous smile as she took my order, her hands shaking as she handed me my drink. I took a sip, hoping to calm my nerves, but the coffee tasted bitter and stale, as if it had been sitting out for hours. As I turned to leave, I felt a hand on my shoulder. I nearly jumped out of my skin. It was one of the men. I was frozen in fear, unable to move as he pulled out a chair and motioned for me to sit. The other two men watched me with cold, dead eyes, their fingers twitching as if they were ready to pounce. I felt trapped, like a mouse caught in a cat's claw. The sinister grin on his face made my body freeze in fear. "Sit down, little lady," he said, his voice laced with malice. We have some business to discuss with you. I tried to stand up, but the man's grip on my shoulder tightened, and I felt the weight of his gaze on me. I could see the greed in his eyes as he began to speak, his voice low and menacing. I have a job for you, he said, his lips twisting into a cruel smile, and it pays very well. My heart sank as I realized what he wanted from me. He needed me to steal confidential documents from my workplace, a task that would put my job, my reputation, and my freedom at risk. But more than that, I knew that this was just the beginning of a nightmare that would haunt me for the rest of my life. I could feel the fear coursing through my veins, the sweat trickling down my back as I tried to keep my composure. But the man was relentless, his words laced with threats and promises of violence. You do this for me, he said, his voice low and dangerous, and I'll make sure you're well taken care of. But if you don't, well, let's just say there will be consequences. I knew I had to escape, to run as far away as possible from this man and his twisted scheme. But my body felt heavy, weighed down by the terror that gripped me, and I found myself unable to move. I looked up at the man, and I could see the satisfaction in his eyes. He knew he had me trapped, and relished in the power he held over me. You have until tomorrow, he said, his voice cold and calculating. I'll be in touch. As he walked away and back into the company of the other men, I felt a wave of despair wash over me. This man had taken my freedom, my sense of security, and my peace of mind. And I knew that there was no way out of this nightmare, that I was trapped in a web of evil and deceit that would haunt me for the rest of my days. I was horrified. I couldn't believe what I heard. He had threatened me right in the face. If I didn't do what he asked, he would harm me and my family. I left the cafe, feeling violated and helpless. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't go to the police, as I was afraid for my safety. So I decided to go to work and try to avoid the men. But they were like vultures, circling me, ready to strike at any moment. Every time I left my apartment, I could feel their eyes on me, burning into my skin. They would lurk in the shadows, their faces twisted into sneers and scowls, as if daring me to make a move. One day, as I was walking home from work, I felt a presence behind me. I turned around and saw one of the men with a sinister grin on his face. He started to follow me, his footsteps echoing in the empty street. My heart raced as I quickened my pace, but he matched my every step, his breath hot on my neck. Where are you going, sweetheart? He said, his voice dripping with malice. Don't you want to talk to me? I tried to run, but he was too fast. He grabbed my arm, his grip like a vice, and pulled me close to him. I tried to scream, but his hand covered my mouth, muffling my cries. I struggled to break free, but he held me in place, his fingers digging into my flesh. It was only when a passerby heard my screams and intervened that I was able to escape. But the damage had been done, and I knew that I was living in a nightmare from which I could never truly wake up. The men were everywhere, watching me, waiting for their next opportunity to strike. And I knew that sooner or later, they would get what they wanted. What was I supposed to do? I was afraid to approach the police, as they would definitely involve my employer. In an already troubled job market, I could too end up losing my job. That's when I met Tom, a colleague who noticed my distress and offered to help. He told me about a private investigator who could help me get out of this mess. I hesitated at first, but I was desperate. I needed to do something to protect myself and my loved ones and my job. So I contacted the investigator and he agreed to take my case. He worked tirelessly, gathering evidence and building a case against the men.
Big savings are in the air. Don't miss your chance at 15% cash back during Rakuten's Big Give Week. Shop and get rewarded at your favorite stores like Adidas, KitchenAid, Expedia, and hundreds more. So go ahead and refresh your closet, spruce up your home, book that trip, and much more. But 15% cash back is only from May 4th to the 11th. So join now. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app and join for free and start saving. That's Rakuten.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits,
Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It turned out that they were part of a criminal organization, and they had been using Starbucks as a front to conduct their illegal activities. The investigator managed to bring the men to justice, and they were sentenced to prison for their crimes. I felt relieved, but the trauma of the ordeal stayed with me for a long time. I couldn't help but wonder how many other innocent people had fallen victim to the men's schemes, and how many more criminal organizations were lurking in plain sight, using seemingly harmless establishments as their cover.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.